It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headley. You've been hearing the music of Lulu the Giant. We're broadcasting live from the restaurant The Gray, and we're here for the Savannah Stopover Music Festival. This restaurant lives inside a restored Art Deco Greyhound bus terminal from 1938. But if you dial the clock just a little bit further back, The Gray would not be serving martinis and pina coladas. Georgia went dry on the first day of 1908, and it stayed that way for more than 25 years until the Volstead Act, it's known as Prohibition, was repealed. A museum opens here in Savannah next month to tell that Prohibition story from the first drop to the very last, and here to talk about it is the museum's manager, Kayla Black. Welcome.
Thank you.
Why would a Prohibition, this is the first American museum focused on Prohibition, correct?
Correct, yes.
So why does it need to be in Savannah?
This is by far the best place that we have found in the country to put a Prohibition museum. You know, you've got big names throughout the country like Al Capone and others along with him who have focused right here in Savannah. They called this the spigot of the South in the 1920s because huge amounts of liquor from the Caribbean was coming up through here and then being distributed throughout the Midwest. We were the funnel of alcohol into the Midwest of the country.
So was Savannah ever dry?
Technically, yes. In practicality, no. Savannah was never fully dry.
Well, they stood by their principles. Let's hear a little bit of tape. This is Reverend Billy Sunday. He was one of the most vocal critics of the sale of alcohol, a very strong supporter of Prohibition. So here's a clip of him delivering one of his sermons.
America needs a tidal wave of the old-time religion. America needs to be taken down to God's bathhouse and the hose turned on her. And the time isn't far distant when the wheels of God's judgment are going to go sweeping through this old God-hating world.
So you have collected a huge number of artifacts, and this archival tape is part of that. Where did you find all of this stuff?
One of the nicest things about putting together a museum about Prohibition is it wasn't that long ago. There's so much information, there's so much media, there's so much archival stuff available still because it was within 100 years ago from now. You can find things like this at the Library of Congress, you can find it at the National Archives, you can find it under people's houses.
Wait, did you say under people's houses?
Under people's houses. We actually have a still that we found underneath someone's house here in Savannah that has been there since people were cooking moonshine in Savannah during Prohibition.
Does it still work?
We haven't tested it, but I would say probably, yeah.
That's the first thing I would do. All right, let's hear a little bit more sound. Many people will associate Prohibition automatically with this group. It's the Women's Christian Temperance Union. They fought very valiantly against the distribution of alcohol. So let's hear a clip of one of their members.
I solemnly promise, God helping me, to abstain from the use of all distilled, fermented, and malt liquors, and that means wine and beer. I don't drink, and I will do all I can to keep you from drinking.
Okay, so that's one point of view, so let's play one more. This is a clip of a newsreel. So even before repeal happened in 1933, I guess a lot of cities were much like Savannah, that they just went ahead and ignored the Volstead Act. Many businesses did not wait for that repeal to serve their liquor. So here's a clip from a newsreel in 1933, that year.
The lid is off in many places, with the downfall of Prohibition being celebrated in real old-time hilarity. Yes, and by the renewal of old acquaintances, hotels and nightclubs report a real pre-war spirit among those revelers. Boy!
Boy! So what do we not understand? Even though it was relatively recent, I think people don't really know the history of Prohibition all that well. What do we not understand or remember about it?
When most people think about Prohibition, they think, oh, there was this 13-year period where people weren't allowed to drink alcohol in the country, and that was really the long and short of it for most people. But what we're hoping to portray in the museum is that this was not just all of a sudden people were like, you know what, I think we should not drink alcohol, and then they turned it on and turned it back on, or turned it off and then turned it back on. This was a process that started basically from the beginning of our country and lasts even till today. We have Prohibition groups in the country that are still trying to push for national prohibition. The Prohibition Party is still an active organization in the country. So many of the different things that we have today have direct roots in Prohibition. Organized crime, the income tax, was passed as an amendment just so that we could have prohibition. Lots of different little things about our lives today have direct ties to prohibition and that 13 years.
And tell me about why prohibition got started in the first place, because there were a number of different reasons why people opposed it. Religion was one of it, but oftentimes women were involved because of domestic violence.
Absolutely, yeah. One of the biggest pushes, women were very influential in bringing prohibition in and then at the same time bringing prohibition back out. But this was in a time period where people had gone from drinking these low alcohol level ciders and beers every day and then drinking the same amount of those low level liquors into whiskey. And this was a time when women were not allowed in the social sphere. They were not allowed out. They weren't really going out in public to restaurants. Men would go to the saloon, which was an exclusively male spectrum of life. They would drink as much as they'd want. They'd come home and then they would do whatever they wanted. And paychecks were being blown on alcohol rather than being spent on things that were needed in the house.
Okay, so let's hear again a little bit more tape, and this is John D. Rockefeller. Obviously, most of us know him now as a philanthropist, very wealthy industrialist. He was against prohibition, and it was for what that unintended consequence, which was the creation of organized crime. So here is a little bit of John D. Rockefeller speaking in 1932, calling for the repeal of prohibition.
Many of our best citizens piqued at what they regarded as an infringement of their private rights have openly and unabashed disregarded the 18th Amendment, that as an inevitable result, respect for all law has been greatly lessened, but crime has increased.
So what ended up killing the Volstead Act? Was it the crime?
You have to look at what the Volstead Act was as a whole. So the 18th Amendment was the first time in American history where an amendment had been passed that limited the rights of Americans. Almost every other law and amendment that had been passed expanded the rights of the American people, and this one really curtailed it. It also destroyed an amount of industry. And ultimately, when you come to in the 1930s, we've got the combination of the Great Depression and needing to find jobs for people, and the mere fact that you can't legislate morality. You can't, what ultimately happened is people were looking at this saying, this was something that was legal and fine, now it's illegal, and it was opening up pathways for small criminals to become big time criminals, which is where we have the mob lords of Al Capone and Lucky Luciano, who were just small time folks who used alcohol as a way to break into the big leagues.
Do we have any idea how much alcohol was landing on Savannah's shores during the time of Prohibition?
No, we're not exactly sure. It was a lot, though. One of the most famous names of the time period, Bill McCoy, he was very frequent into Savannah. His very first trip from the Caribbean bringing alcohol into the States was here into Savannah. And it really just flowed through. At one point, Savannah had more than 700 blind tigers, which were little tiny juice joints around the city.
Like speakeasies?
Like little tiny speakeasies, little personally owned speakeasies throughout the city. And it was not hard for you to find a drink. There's one story that says, if you came into Savannah and you tried to find how long it took to get a drink, it took about 3 minutes for you to find some place that would serve you booze during Prohibition.
Well, that time is much shorter now.
Yeah, even shorter.
Yeah. So in the minute that we have left, what remains? Do we still have some of this history in Savannah? Can you walk around and find some of these?
Oh, absolutely. We've got the remnants of Prohibition today with blue laws, where in Savannah you can't buy a drink of alcohol until 12:30 on Sunday in the afternoon, and that's a very recent. It used to be no alcohol on Sundays whatsoever, and that's directly from Prohibition itself.
That is Kayla Black. She's the manager of the American Prohibition Museum, which opens
In mid-April.
Next month sometime, yeah. In Savannah. Kayla, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Cheers.